T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Welcome back in. Clint is out today. We are seeing on the text line, fellas, another example of, I've said this for months now. Boy, CJ is in God mode, man.
Teflon.
God bless, brother.
What, boy? People, there's somebody texting and said the slander of CJ Stroud. The slander.
You know that's a loosely used term these days.
I don't care if you're kidding around. Stop with the slander on my CJ.
Obviously, they're kidding, or are they?
I don't think they are. Think they are.
You think they really think it's slander, or is they are they I using agree. That as like a euphemism?
No, I think they're serious. I think they are mad. Tyler's the one that said and went dark. I mean, he went completely dark.
He's gonna force his way out.
They were. I didn't say that, B. Scott. They were dark days. They were dark ass days.
I remember,
man.
When a guy forced his way out. Don't do it again.
All right,
never again. Please.
All right, now this is interesting. This is an interesting conversation because I don't know how real it is, but I wonder if you all agree with where Brandon is. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, we were having a discussion here, and Tyler, you weren't in the room when we had it. We were having a discussion here, and I said, man, this is really the worst timing for the Astros to start playing like this, to start having a potential season like this, because the way that the Texans are rolling on here, I mean, if you say, boy, I don't like the way CJ's socks are that day, I mean, the fan base is coming at you. That's where the Texans are right now.
Stop with the slander.
They're beloved. I mean,
the arrow's pointed up.
The Texans are running this. The people are loving and falling in love with this Texans team and cannot. This has got to be one of the most anticipated seasons in Texans history, if not the most anticipated season.
And this rebrand is added to it.
The rebrand with the new uniforms, with the new everything.
Yeah.
The Texans are taking this thing over. Like, people are. Well, okay, we do have the draft. Hell, they ain't even picking on Thursday, you know, and people are still excited about this. And I was just thinking, well, this could be a rough time for the Astros to potentially have this run end, because people are looking for a reason to turn.
Oh yeah,
straight Texans, because it's the number one thing, it seems like, from what we see, sports fans are interested in. And then Tyler, his response. The response from Brandon Scott immediately made me say, oh, we got to talk about this. I said that to you, Brandon. You said,
oh, man.
Hell, not only could they drop below the Texans.
Dude, anybody. I think that anybody that is not the Texans at this point should be worried. Like, I think that if the football team here is good, the football team being the Texans. So if the Texans are on their way up, everybody else aside from them should be worried. Because at that point, you are fighting for second place. If the football team in Houston is good, the football team in Houston is going to be number one. And it's like that in most places, but I think it's especially like that here. Now you go beyond that. Okay, so who am I competing with for second?
I'll get to it.
And for me, if the Astros continue on the trend that they are on this year, okay, if they're bad throughout this year, and then the Rockets get to pick it back up this fall, and let's say they're in the playoffs a year from now, the playoffs that we're watching right now. Let's say the Rockets are in it, okay, and the Astros are now descending, or God forbid, doing the thing that Ron talked about earlier, selling all your good players or selling some of the good players that are going to be up for contracts pretty soon. Like, if they're going in a clear direction the other way, to me, it's nothing for them to come third place. They'll still have the history.
You think within a year that the Astros could be, you could see a real scenario in which the Astros are third behind the Rockets?
I've been here my whole life, man.
All
they got to do is be bad. I've been saying for a long time.
Really?
They cannot afford to be bad. I don't think any team, to be clear, this is not just specific to the Astros. They just happen to be the one. This is their lot in life right now. This is their time. But I don't think any team, we've seen this with the Texans, we've seen it with the Rockets.
Here, it's been clear the Rockets have been a clear third.
Yeah, well, because they've been bad since you've been here. I don't think any team in this city can really afford to be bad and maintain the full attention of its fan base. Okay, that applies to me to every team, but especially the two non-football teams. I think the Texans can survive it better than anybody. But and also just the nature of the sports, the number of games they play, how long the regular season is, how easy it can be to lose interest in an NBA season, in a baseball season. Like, we're already reaching that point. I think if it's clear that this is going to be a, you know, 90-loss to 100-loss type of baseball team, like, if they're going into that direction, I'm old enough to remember we've all been here to see this before when the team
in
has been
year,
bad.
In a year, though? In a year, Tyler?
If they're
like
bad.
In a year. Like, how good they have
that'd
been.
That'd be a hell of a plummet.
You got to think about what else is happening within the year. The football team is going up. We're already getting it on the text line. I'm seeing it on the YouTube channel. Why have y'all talked so much Astros? They suck. Talk more about the Texans, their draft.
Someone just texted in, haven't the Astros always been third?
What?
They have been. Astros have been one, if not one ace.
Look, that person.
It also depends on how you view your sports. Not everybody takes in all the sports the way we do here at Sports Radio 610. So some people are just like kind of naturally oriented against baseball to begin with. But if you're a baseball fan, an Astros fan, but you're also a Texans fan, you're also a Rockets fan, you're genuinely interested in the goodwill in those teams, the goodness of those teams, and those teams are good and the Astros are bad. Yeah, they will be. They could easily, okay, if they continue on this sort of trajectory, could easily go from first to third in a year.
Wow.
100%.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch.
Rockets,
can you get a sense? Because, yes, the Rockets are ascending. The Texans clearly have it. They got it by the throat.
The arrow's pointed
up. That the Astros, who I think have been number one, could drop down to third. Tyler, this is my thing. It's just weird because you know that Altuve and Alvarez are going to be on the team.
Sure as hell better be.
Like, you know they're going to be on the team. You know, and Pena and Yiner Diaz. You know those two stars are going to be on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I could even see this, Brandon, if you're talking 2-3 years down the line. Boy, that quickly? You're saying the fan base of the Astros can turn that quickly
it's not a team that was
for seven straight years, and really this run is from 2015.
It's not turning though. It's just shifting the attention. Like, they'll still be Astros fans.
They'll care more. Wow.
Yeah. No, I think the pecking order in this city starts with football, and then from there it goes with how competitive are you? How good are you? Who would the tie? I think another interesting question would be, who does the tie go to? Like, let's say the Astros take a step back but are still competitive, and then the Rockets are a playoff team. Then who does the tie go to is an interesting discussion. But if one's good and the other is bad and the football team is great, yeah, think about it. A year from now, let's say the Texans don't even go to the AFC Championship game. They do the same thing they did last year. Go to division game, hard-fought season, encouraging, new uniforms, all this buzz. There you go. And then a year from now, we're looking ahead at the 2025 draft. That's going to be more important than a losing Astros season. The Rockets in the playoffs. That'll be more important and more noteworthy than a losing Astros season. Yeah, I can see it, man. A
couple of texts on the text line. Text line coming in. Ronnie, it's just Ron. Until more recently, Houston was always football first, then Rockets. When the let me ask you guys this, and this could be perspective. This is interesting. Tyler and Brandon come to the table with this. You guys were covering Brandon Moore to an extent. You were here as a humongous fan when the Harden Rockets were rolling and getting and running their head up against that Golden State wall, but they were relevant and good. Won the Western Conference that one year, lost to them in the Western Conference Finals, lost to them in the semis, but were one of the relevant teams.
Mm-hmm.
That same time, that's still in the middle of the Astros. That's in the Astros run.
Right. Beginning
right,
of
right?
It.
Like that's in the
start
17, of it. 6, 17, 18, that's still.
Yeah.
Those were. What was two? What was bigger, Astros or Rockets?
Well, no, the Astros won the World Series in 2017, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, if there so is start, one, it's Stroh.
So, okay, 17, so starting, 18, 19, whatever is because.
I think they're yeah,
so,
just tight.
I mean, so starting from 2017 and on, once they become World Series champions and then they're World Series contenders from that point on, they then take two at that point because the Rockets weren't even.
That's fair.
Didn't even go to the finals. Like, they were threatening the dynasty, but they didn't even go to the finals. The Astros actually won the World Series in 2017. So they were two from that point on for sure.
I think that's fair, but I would say, like, as long as I've been in Houston, which is my whole life, I mean, it feels like whenever the squads are performing and doing well, the big three here in Houston, that, yeah, maybe football's number one, and honestly, it's like the Rockets and Astros are tied to me at two. I mean, people love their basketball and baseball in this city.
They'll always be neck and neck.
Yeah.
They will always be neck and neck in terms of loyalty. It depends on success.
No matter, even this 7 year, I'm just getting it from you. Even this 7 year stretch where it feels like the Astros have built up, I would say, built up even a stronger, no, it's not the Red Sox or the Cardinals.
It's definitely different than it was.
But it's built this up.
It's a different culture than the one that me and Tyler grew up with.
In a year. That has Altuve and Alvarez on it, that team could go down to be behind Jalen Green and company.
If Jalen Green and company are in the playoffs and the Rockets are actually playing meaningful competitive basketball, if they had signed Kyrie Irving or James Harden,
I'm not saying 100%. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. That's an interesting. Now I disagree with this person on the text line. You guys can't handle the truth. NBA is terrible to most people. I don't give a damn about the NBA.
That's not
Texas
most people.
First, Astros that's second. Not most football people. Will always be king in Houston.
That's a very niche opinion.
The facts are Toyota was loaded up whenever the Rockets were good.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of places that I go in the city, the barbershop, church, even mixed company places. And I just say that, don't think I'm just that are talking about the NBA. And basketball. I'm not going to say the NBA is as popular as the NFL.
Yeah.
But I don't like people here.
And I'm not. Like we're not just talking about the NBA versus Major League Baseball either. Yeah. We're talking about your teams, your identity. You know, like
Texas basketball's king. The Rockets gave us our first championship.
But you might not like the NBA and still dig the Rockets. You know, like, that's possible. You might not love Major League Baseball or baseball at large and still dig the Astros. So, like, this is not a big commentary about the leagues themselves, maybe the NFL, since the NFL is king. But I think that's more commentary about football. Football in Texas, in the South, and really America at this point.
Text line, Ron, Houston is a bandwagon city. Whoever is winning is number one.
Yeah, I didn't want to use the B word. But there is an element of that.
You don't think it's that far off?
There is an element of that. I think there is an element of that.
Well, I think there's an element of that in any sports city you might be in. I mean, that's just a lazy-ass take.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. But more so, it is that, like, and the thing that I'm trying to highlight is ascension versus descension. One team on the up, the other team on the down. You can call that bandwagon, but that just makes sense.
I would just think. And listen, I could be dead wrong here. I would just think that the fan base would have built up such emotion with these guys on the Astros in a way that they don't have that emotion built up with the Rockets, that there would be, like, Jose Altuve and Alvarez and Pena, like those three guys who we know will be here, that there's no way around it. Those guys will be like that. That there's a care there.
But you know what? That makes it even harder.
They lose 105 games.
That's the thing.
I don't think they could do that with them.
But the emotion, I feel like the emotion and the care almost makes it even harder to invest in when you know where it's headed, when you know how bad it is. It's like, hey, I care about this team and way too emotionally invested in this team to just watch them lose. And not that you're not going to watch, but to invest even more in their failure over and over and over again when I could refocus my energy into the teams that are positive. I'm still an Astros fan. I'm still down. I'll still watch the games here and there, but I'm not going to get emotionally tied to the success or failure when I know what's happening.
I would definitely love to see it. In my time here, the Rockets made the playoffs the bubble year. So I would love to see a rocking Toyota Center, basketball town in which what it was in 17, 18, 19, those years. I would love to see what that looks like. It's just, I thought that was interesting. You were so confident within that, and it looks like some people kind of share that thought with you. All right, coming up, we'll get to it. The greatest fear for this team moving forward in the division. When you start to look at the draft stuff, it makes it to me very, very clear what that is. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
There's so much to talk about, man. I don't, because this will get us completely off. Because Joe Espada is out here. Joe's out here just throwing stuff at the wall at this point, man.
It's not ideal.
It's not. We'll have to get to that. All right, here in a bit. But I said this in the tease, and I said it earlier. You can give your thoughts as well. Look, man, I look at a lot of teams around this AFC South, and I know they look at this, and they got to be thinking, oh, my God, is that C.J. Stroud in year one? Like, in Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Indy, they're got to be sitting there, oh, my God almighty. Is that C.J.?
They should be nervous.
In year one?
They should be nervous.
Like, clearly, to all the teams in the division, people are looking and concerned and have fear the most of, like, if that's what CJ looks like in year one, is this what it's be? Very similar to, I think, the AFC West and then the AFC after Patrick Mahomes came around with year one as a starter, 50 touchdown passes and 5,000 yards. Like you're like, oh my God, is this what we're gonna have to look forward to? And then it became, yes, Yes, it is. And he's going to get better. And this and we got to deal with this nut for the next 15 years probably.
Yeah.
And I think that is what the rest of the division is thinking right now after year one. Their greatest fear is C.J. Stroud.
As he should be.
But when you look at the Texans, what's their greatest fear in this division? And I in the future down the road for this division, this year and beyond, and I'm looking at draft boards and I'm seeing where some of these teams are selecting, and there is no other answer. If that nut in Indianapolis, that nut being Anthony Richardson.
I thought you might be talking about Ursay.
Yeah, Jim's.
He's a nut.
Jim's been in that bathroom I told you about yesterday for the first time, allegedly.
Hurt my nose.
I believe Jay Jenkins, known as Young Jeezy, calls it that white girl. But anyway.
Baking soda.
No, that nut Anthony Richardson. Him with Shane Steichen, probably no better coach to fit him. If that nut up there figures it out, and I know we're going to get some people saying, oh, Anthony Richardson, you're going to tell me all the things about Anthony Richardson. Hey, they're the truth. That's the hope.
They say the boy can't hit the side of a fire station.
Hope so. He was hitting that bad boy start that Texans game.
Wasn't he, though? And running it, too.
And the week before that.
He looked kind of like a superhero.
Kind of caught me off guard with how much better. If that nut figures it out, because we've seen Shane Steichen with a talent that isn't as talented as Anthony Richardson. And I'll be honest, like if you were to say Anthony Richardson, top to bottom, every piece of skill level you can think of, he may be the most talented quarterback in the National Football League.
C.J. Stroud says he's born in a lab or built in a lab.
Yeah, like, and I'm not saying he's the best. I'm just saying his natural talent of his size, his ability to run, like he's as big as Cam. He's so much faster than Cam.
Yeah.
And he has got a whip and can throw it for him. That nut figures it out. And Shane Steichen is able to do what he did with Jalen, because this guy's Jalen on steroids. I mean, on roids. That right there. The hope is what many of you are hoping. Because I've been looking in the draft board and I'm seeing the Brian Thomas potentially going there. I'm seeing what's my man from
Xavier Worthy. That's the one that's got
me. Got
T.Y. Hilton written all over him.
And we know how close the Colts were to the playoffs. I do not buy in the thought of they are better without Anthony Richardson and then with
Gardner Minshew.
I don't buy that.
That's ridiculous.
I don't buy that. Some do. I don't personally. But that to me is clearly it. If that dude figures anything out and he has it around him, the run game with him and Jonathan Taylor,
dude,
all that and Shane Steichen, that's the scary one for the Texans.
He looks like Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson had a baby. Pause. Like seriously, like he looks like some kind of combination of these two dudes. Like I've been saying about Anthony Richardson even when he was in the draft last year, like there is something about a quarterback who can go out there and credibly say, hey, I might be the best athlete on the field on any given or every play that I'm a part of. Like he has that type of ability, that type of athleticism. All you're really trying to figure out is if he can hone in the quarterback stuff. And we've seen Shane Steichen. Like we saw a lot of Shane Steichen without him so far, right? We saw him in Philly with Jalen Hurts. We saw how he was able to make the most out of Gardner Minshew last year, which to me, man, he's not working with a lot there. Gardner Minshew's a decent backup quarterback, but that's not a supremely talented dude.
Well, it probably goes away from really how he wants to completely run offense.
Yeah, but it also goes to show how adaptable he is. Like, imagine if Gardner Minshew had Anthony Richardson's abilities, how much that would have opened up Shane Steichen's imagination and curiosity. Like, that is – now, I'm, of course, be a contrarian to you because I understand where you're coming from. I'm going to say the biggest fear in the division is fear itself, baby. You got to go out there and not be scared. You got to go out there and be for real, man. Like, you got C.J. Stroud on one end. You got Will Anderson on the other end. You got D'Amico Ryans running this bad boy. Biggest fear is fear itself. Don't go out there and be scared. But if I was going to be scared of something, it would be an alien.
Yeah, that man.
And the Colts got an alien, and they got a coach that looks like he can tap into
now
it.
Now listen, you can see it going completely poorly.
This is the big thing. The texter mentions on from the 832, if he can stay healthy. My bigger question about Anthony Richardson is him staying on the field. And so if there's my answer.
All
what's my biggest fear? Anthony Richardson stays healthy and figures it out. Because right now you can say, hey, I'm not scared. That dude can't stay healthy. He just going to be hurt. They're going to have to figure out whoever their backup quarterback is. You can say that.
And I will say it's more likely that he doesn't figure it out. If we've seen what figure it out enough that he could give you problems.
Yeah, it does not matter if he can't stay on the field.
But he happens to have really a lot of the elements around him. Like there's two guys that get their hands on a player like him. It's Shane Steichen and it's Greg Roman. Like those two coaches get their hands on players like this. We've seen it.
Yeah. I'd like to see what Andy Reid could do with them too. But yeah, no, I hear you though.
But I'm just saying, those two to their specific skill sets, yeah. And what they do. Like all of it. Yeah, there's things of can he stay healthy? Can he be accurate enough? Like we look at it like.
And see, I think he can.
Like there's the thing is.
I think he can be accurate enough. Like, health is the issue.
I don't even know, and this is going to sound crazy, especially to a. I don't even know if a guy like Lamar has completely put it together.
Oh, that's hard. Two MVPs?
I know, but I'm just saying, like completely where you're like consistently, like he's hitting it, but his talent is so strong that he doesn't have to be.
Well, he compensates for some of his shortcomings with some things that are special that others can't do.
Which is the thing that Anthony
does. Exactly what Anthony Richardson does.
I'm saying,
except he's bigger.
Yes.
Yeah, which also makes it odd that he can't stay healthy. But yeah,
he hasn't after that first year.
But that's still an element there, you know. Like, hey, man, if they can figure that out, figure out how to keep him upright.
Him and Jonathan Taylor.
So hey, look, it's why I'm really glad,
man, and like just
to have a D'Amico
coach and the coach
and a defensive minded coach, a defensive investment in the team. You're gonna need that because look, you look around this division. Anthony Richardson, the Colts, these offenses, Shane Steichen, they're coming.
Yeah. All right, we'll do a little Texans report, a little draft talk coming up. I think Clint's going to be hot about something. He's not here, but we're going to discuss this because it feels like maybe a bit of a nugget has been thrown out there. Maybe a bit of a crumb has been thrown out there. And before we get there, we gotta address a little something here. It looks like our guy, Joe Espadas, he's just going to try anything at this point. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Appreciate people enjoying Nuggies.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Do a little Texans report with Brandon. He's been with us all day, but we can do a little draft talk here.
That's right.
In a bit, I do want to give you the lineup as the Astros are facing. Is that Jameson Taillon?
Yeah, Jameson Taillon, yep. Houston's own.
Houston's
own, I think. Is that Woodlands?
Did he get traded there? Where did he get? Did he go to Pittsburgh? Is that where
he had been
was
in
drafted?
Pittsburgh. He had been with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Well-traveled Jameson Taillon at this point.
He is on the bump for the Cubs tonight. Here is the lineup. And you can go either way with this, but he is trying here. Joe Espada, lineup today. Altuve, and then from my accounts, fellas, tell me if I'm wrong, the first time all season, Alex Bregman's in the two-hole.
That'd be correct.
He has batting second tonight.
Shuffled all over the place.
He hit fourth yesterday, and he hit third over the weekend. So in the last week, Alex has hit second, third, and fourth. They're trying it all.
This is what it looked like when desperate times call for desperate measures.
Is Breggy being ridiculous?
Alex, we had a topic yesterday. What is Alex Bregman? I don't Don't know. We'll see. He's moving up and down it. But Altuve leading off, Bregman hitting second. Alvarez and Tucker. Diaz is the DH tonight. Pena Singleton is in at first base. The catcher is Vic Caratini. And then Jake Meyers off his homer yesterday is in center field with Arrigetti in it. So Bregman moved up to the two spot.
Got to find a way to reach him, Show. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling him Shumpka. When did I start doing that?
It's fine, Brandon. His name is Show.
Gotta find a way to start reaching this guy.
The showman.
Ron.
Thank you. You've done such a good job.
Shout out to my guy, Alex Bregman.
What's funny is that I've always actually called you Ron. I'm one of the few that's always called you Ron.
You and Karen.
I don't know what got into me there.
Yeah. Don't know. Hey, just you start feeling good.
We'll keep an eye on that, Ronnie. Yeah.
But that's a lineup. We'll talk more about that here in a bit. All right. The draft is coming up tomorrow. First round. I don't know if the Texans are going to jump back in it. There may be a player. I said this the other last week. I said there's nothing to me right now the Texans can do that would irritate me. They're not drafting kickers. They're not drafting punters in the first four rounds. Hell, they're not going to draft any of those. They're not going to draft a quarterback up early in this. There's nothing that they can do to irritate me. Any route they go, I can understand.
I agree.
And if there is somebody that they are coveting that they didn't think would fall where they are, just because they traded out from 23 does not mean that they don't feel different and and evidence has changed. And there's a player that's there. By all means, I'm with it, and I would love to be talking about they felt like they had to go and go get somebody, and they wanted this player so much so. So I'm always on the side of aggressiveness in this thing. Although, for me, I doubt they move back into the first round. I don't get – Nick and them they could do anything. They've done a lot of moving up. I would be surprised if we come in here on Friday – or we're making videos Thursday night about the Texans moving back in.
Yeah, if I had to bet money on it, I would bet against it. I don't think that they're going to do that just based off of what they've done already. You know, they had the 23rd pick, right? And so if they felt desperate for or like they needed what they felt like was a top 25 pick, I don't think that they would have given that pick up. So you don't give that pick up unless you're comfortable with moving back to where you did to begin with. Where it's going to get interesting, and this is where I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I guess it would surprise me more if they moved up than if they didn't, okay? But I guess I'm hedging this a little bit because I don't think it would surprise me that much depending on how the draft itself plays out. Who's the player that falls? And it's hard to know this before the draft gets going, but who is that guy that's going to fall?
Because there's going to be something.
Somebody's going to fall.
Because you could see a run on multiple positions. Quarterback. Offensive tackle.
Cornerback. Wide receiver, obviously. Yeah. So there's a number of positions where there could be a run on. And I just feel like there is plenty of chance here for somebody to fall, for there to be a player that perhaps the team, maybe it's not even the Texans, but it could be a team or a player, I should say, that a team views just totally differently than the rest of the league. It's not like there is outright consensus on every player or even on every group of players. So based off of who's picking and how the draft is going, who falls and how far do they fall? And so, like, if you get to the back end of that first round, let's say they get past 23. Say we're in the 25, getting close to 30. And somebody that they didn't expect to be there at 23 has fallen all the way down to 25, 26, 27. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they did what they had to do to get back into the back end of the first round or at the top part of the second round, just to make sure that player that they don't feel like should have slid that far down to begin with,
yes,
to make sure they don't slide down any further and they go get them. That would not surprise me at all.
See, yeah, there's a run on players and like they're to me, they're like the position I look at is there's like 2 to 3 defensive tackles that I think are rated higher than most. And, you know, there's a wonder if they may go up and grab one of those.
Yeah.
You know, and because there could be a run where those positions drop.
Yeah, if Johnny Newton out of Illinois is still there at 28, do the Texans, does Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans get anxious? If Darius Robinson out of Missouri is still there in the back part of the first round, or God forbid in the early part of the second round. I know we're talking about moving up into the first round, but how far do those guys drop if they do? How far do they slip if they do? Do they get anxious? Cooper DeJean, the white cornerback who John Harris likes as a position change, and you hear that a lot around the league. Like, this dude, I don't know about corner, but he looked like he could play slot, and he looked like he could be a hell of a safety. If that dude, because he's a white corner, if he slips, do they see?
Why are you saying because he's a white corner?
Because I could
feel that. Tyler keeps really.
Are you new to America? Are y'all new to America?
But it's might as well dropped a cracker.
Do biases not impact our decisions and cloud our judgment? I could absolutely see people being dumb enough to be like, I ain't drafting no white corner.
The way he made it sound and then he slipped. Like, because his 40 time was a little slower, he may drop. Because he's a white corner, like, dude, the reasoning is dropping is because.
So tell me this.
I ain't drafting a corner named Kyle.
You're going to call me a racist.
You're a GM, and you've got a first-round draft pick, and a white corner comes to you. Like the falls to you, right?
Like they're in the board?
You couldn't see a GM saying,
has it been since Jason Sehorn?
I ain't using no first-round pick on a white corner. It ain't going to be me. I'm not saying that's wise.
He's dead serious. Like, I let it go by the first two or three times.
He's hammering home.
He said, but seriously, because he's a white corner, he dropped.
That's what the whites used to do.
You don't see a team could pass on a white corner the way, say, like, way back in the day, a team would pass on a black quarterback who might be good? Because, like, man.
Well, I hope we've left those days behind.
He can't do that.
Let's not get aggressive here.
I'm just saying. Look, I don't think it's the same type of inequality. Or a glitch in the marketplace, glitch in the matrix.
He said it three
but it's
times.
A similar vein.
That's why he could be available. He could. You did it. You did it all. You switched him off corner to safety.
Everything.
A corner named Charles, good.
You made him Kyle Hamilton.
Yes.
Hollywood. Or Adam Archuleta.
He does play better with his face in the ball. He does play better. Like, I would say that even if he was black.
God, I didn't know where we're headed there.
Can't be drafting a corner of the see-through, man.
I have thought about this.
I don't know if he made that. Like, that might be where he dropped.
With Cooper DeJean, I'm not kidding you guys. I have thought about this a lot. A lot. What if the white corner drops?
Someone texted.
Because for whatever reason, folks don't believe in the white corner.
Someone texted. Listen. We got people out here not believing in a player because he cried with his mother. So I can get sensible, silly things with that. Someone text in, I'm white and I'm out. Now I want you to be.
Damn.
I want you to. I want to understand.
I'm sorry, Cooper. I can't even sell you to the white guys in my market.
I want to understand, sir. Are you saying that you're white and you're out on drafting Cooper, or you're white and you're out just on the show? The rest of that's what I'm trying to get an understanding.
Well, it can't be getting out on Houston's number one afternoon drive program.
That could be. You never know what's the thing that drives them out.
I am.
Someone texted, but you're
hoping.
Right.
I am hoping that they can benefit from some prejudice here.
Would you go up to get Cooper? Like, if he's sitting there in the 28, 29 range?
I wouldn't move up. I would try to let him fall to the second round.
What's the reasoning on that, of why you would potentially?
Because I don't want to draft a safety in the back of the first round. I'm just saying, I don't want to draft a safety.
What?
Even though he could be a dynamic slot corner.
Oh, that's
and a
that's
safety, an all-purpose safety, an all do-it-all safety.
Text line, I agree with B. Scott. I think twice before drafting a white corner. God damn it, no! Stop! This is ridiculous.
Hey, but let them fall to about
30. Come on now.
Let them fall to about 36.
You know why there's a struggle here? You know what the struggle is, Tyler? Is
tell me.
You know, they just they don't have anybody to go to the well to compare him to be. Like they do with slots.
Like that unicorn.
That Ladd McConkey. I dare. First off, it
that
just
name.
Could be other name for you.
Ladd.
I dare. Any of these draft analysts to use somebody other than Danny Amendola and and Julian Edelman.
Those are the two.
That's the guys they keep comparing Ladd to. I dare someone, to say Golden Tate. I dare someone to compare him to other black slot corners.
This guy's got sneaky speed now,
and
Ron.
So because they don't have one for Cooper, they won't compare him to anybody.
Sneaky
now they're
fast.
Moving him to safety.
I see a little Dez King in him.
Barbecue, burnt barbecue chicken or whatever.
I get the every time I see Ladd McConkey, somebody dare to compare him to Golden Tate. Somebody dare to compare him to Stephon Diggs. Dare it. Slot receivers.
Somebody on the text line said they're going to turn him into a linebacker. They're going to turn the white corner into a linebacker.
No self-respecting black receivers going to let white corners defend him. Yeah,
can he come back the next day?
They let Jason Sehorn defend him, and he locked him up sometimes.
Just been looking for that second one.
I know it's 15 years ago. I don't care. Y'all better get off Cooper. I want Cooper here so bad. I want him here so bad. So the first question, D'Amico, you thinking about moving him? Yeah. Is he going to play corner here? And if you hear, he's a versatile kid, man, a guy that we can play in a lot of different spots.
If they draft him, I'm telling my press corps member, we are not allowed to ask about his work ethic.
Please give me Cooper.
Do not ask about his work.
What's the comp you got?
I don't want to hear about his football intelligence.
What
either.
Is the comp you give?
I know he's got it.
What's the last 10-year comp? Is it Charles Tillman? Is it Peanut Tillman? What's the comp you give for Cooper? Since you don't have other white corners to lean on. Because you can't go Adam Archuleta and Jason Sehorn. It's just too long ago.
No, it has to be a cross-racial comparison.
And people are just not confident.
Yeah, it has to be.
They'll move him to safety. They'll go John Lynch. All right.
No, I've got him as Desmond King.
Coming up, we'll get you ready for this Astros game. Can they get back to single digits under 500? We'll give you the lineup if you missed it. Alex Bregman is on the move again. We'll discuss that. And the NBA's got to stop doing this. They really do. They've got to stop doing this. And news coming out of the NFL. A player got the bag and another player wants out. We'll discuss that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.